You are now listening to the Shu'em Soul Experience.
Welcome to the Shu'em Soul Experience. My name is Stefan. I'm the host of the show. And in this show, we always have two parts. The second part is always a shamanic ritual in which you are very much invited to join and to share in the energy and in the state that gets provided. And what happens in these rituals is that your attention gets drawn away from all these internal things that occupy your mind and your soul all day long. All your considerations, your thoughts, your feelings, your dreams. And pulls this attention away from the content of your consciousness and leads it to consciousness itself. And consciousness itself is a very wide open peaceful state in which you are ongoingly. The only thing is, you know, so many things pop up within our perception and we get involved in so many things within our perception that we just don't notice it. Peace is always here. Harmony is always here. The only thing is we get involved into the disharmony, into the agitation, into the anxiety. So this ritual is specifically meant to draw your involvement out of all these things and to pull your attention within this wide open, peaceful state which you are on a deeper level. And that's a very healing sort of experience. Because if you look at all your problems, all your sorrow, all your anger, your fear, all these things, if you really observe them, you could see it's your reaction to what happens in life, to what you observe in life. Life is just life, and you have a reaction to it. And it's our involvement with this reaction that gets us upset, that gets us into anger, into fear, into anxiety. So I think the main thing in this work is to get people out of their, so to speak, personal involvement, because all these thoughts, all these dreams, all these wishes, opinions, they all revolve about you, about what you think, about what your opinion is, about what you feel, how you interpret things, what it is for you, everything in relation to you. And, well, as we all know, that's very tiring and very often very depressing. Because, well, in this view, you know, depression is nothing else than looking at yourself all the time in your situation and feeling miserable about it. So what we try to do is to dissolve this involvement with yourself, with all your thoughts, all your emotions, all your opinions, and draw you within this other part of you, which is also here, always, right now, in this moment. You just exist. And this existence is peace. And it's funny because I just had lunch and we had a talk about purpose of life, life and death, you know, God, the devil. What do all these things mean? And I think, you know, things like God, the devil, that sort of thing, it's not something which is defined. First of all, I think what we call God, if you think, what do we try to say with that? I think God is our word for the unknown, because God is beyond all. Anything you say about God, it's just a concept, but anything you say about it is, you know, is limited. Well, God is total limitless. So that's the whole thing. As soon as you start defining things, and that works on a psychological level on the inside, but also if you think about things like God or life or whatever, you know, as soon as you get into your interpretation, yeah, you're stuck within a very limited view on the whole thing. You can say everything about God, but everything is equally true because he's everything and beyond. And it's interesting to see if you, for instance, think about, say, the Ten Commandments or you know, all these life rules that come with this concept of God. You should not kill your neighbor, don't steal his stuff, don't touch his wife, all these things. I think in essence it's not so much meant as a moral thing. That's just one level. It's on, you know, it's also there, but it's on a worldly level. It's meant for the society at large. I think we have a nicer society and a nicer way of being together if we don't kill each other and we don't rape each other's wife and don't steal each other's stuff. You know, so as a society, yes, claro, you know, it's a social ordering, which makes life for everybody within the society more bearable, more pleasant, more harmonious. I think it's a good purpose. Is it a definite rule? No, of course not. It's meant as a guide for society, and for living together, for communal life, because we live here together. But I think, on the other hand, if you look at the same rules, well, what could they mean with these things, except of having a social harmony within your society? I think the root of all these, let's call them rules or you know, ways of conduct, or however you want to express that, I think the purpose behind that, in essence, is, well, you know, as for instance, Buddhism is a very clear example in all these things. What they say is, don't get entangled in life circumstances. Because as soon as you get entangled in life circumstances, you know, you are the victim of your life circumstances. If you get involved into anger, you will become angry and you will create angry consequences, etc., etc. So I think these things like the rules of conduct, or however you want to call it, are mainly meant for you if you want to keep your field of perception open. Yeah, then you could clearly see in yourself that you know, by creating disharmony, by stealing, raping, fancying another woman or another man, or wanting something that the other guy has, it creates disharmony within you. It makes you lose your peace. Because, you know, in this view, from what's peace? I think peace has a lot to do with not running after something. Because what is not peace? Peace, I think, non-peace, or however you call it, you know, disturbance, means there's something you feel is lacking. You think it should be different. You should be rich, or you should be successful, or you should be this or that, or whatever. And that makes you hungry. It gives you this hungry feeling, unsatisfied feeling, because, you know, you want to satisfy this need. And as long as you have this need and you're hungry, you will chase it. And you will have no peace because you're running behind a hungry feeling. And I think it's a very disturbing observation that I traveled a lot, also in the third world, for instance, that if I look at for instance, at Turkey, a place I really like. If I go to Turkey and I pass a tea house, all the old guys are sitting in the tea house. What they're doing, they're playing trick-track, they're having their tea. You can see, you know, they're not rich people. They have enough for the cup of tea, for the cigarette, and, you know, they go home, that sort of thing. Really basic stuff. But if you look at these guys, especially the older guys, you see that there is a sort of contentment in their way of being. Maybe they're not rich, but they're not extremely longing for something else or running after something else. But if you look at the young people, yeah, they all want a BMW, they all want a color TV, they all want to have fancy clothes, they want to have an iPad, an iPod, the whole thing. Which makes them hungry. So what you can see is the last few old people in especially more traditional oriented cultures, they still have this inner sense of contentment just as a state of being. You know, they are happy with their two tomatoes and a cucumber a day. The youth is not happy. They want the Western lifestyle they've seen on TV, you know, with a nice sport car and a bungalow and a beautiful girl and jewelry and money and, you know, the whole thing we are caught up in. So I think it's very disturbing to see that, you know, right now, when we're running out of old people, we're left with a planet full of hungry souls, of people who have the feeling they lack something, they need something in order to be fulfilled. Well, that's not such a very happy point of view. Because your life is as it is. Whether you like it or not, or you have an opinion about it or not, or you think it should be different or not, still, your life is as it is. Either you're black or white, you're rich or poor, you're intelligent or not so, you're more emotional or more mental or more physical or more will-oriented. See, you are the way you are, because that's what you are. All your beautiful and ugly things, I say it a bit silly, but all these things make you as you. If we all would be successful and rich, we would all be the same. It would be more. So your life is as it is. It's exactly how it should be. The only thing is we have all these ideas about how it should be. And lots of these ideas got, I think, very strongly influenced by the society we live in. Especially, I'm talking here about Western Europe, Northern America. You know, we are so programmed with this idea that we need all this shit, that we need all these things in order to feel successful. You have to be successful. You have to make a career. You need to have an opinion. You need a bigger house, a bigger car, a more beautiful wife, more jewelry, more money, more. So it's eternal hunger. It's the opposite of inner peace. It's the opposite of what, in essence, I think, every religion tells you. Be content. It doesn't mean be fatalistic. Of course you should try to improve your life circumstances. Yes, of course. But still, you are you. Your life is your life. You are exactly as you should be. I am exactly as how Stefan Will should be. I don't say that's ideal, but it's exactly how Stefan Will should be. Otherwise, it would be somebody else. No, and I think the trick in life is to find a way in which you are content with how it is. Yeah? You have this one, excuse me, you have this one very beautiful saying from Joseph Campbell, the mythology expert in the world. He really is. I really think he's a fantastic guy. He has this one really beautiful saying, and that's, he says, well, no matter, at the end of your life, no matter how your life was, you should, as a matter of fact, end with a feeling like, whoa, what a trip it was. What an adventure it was. No matter whether it was a happy adventure, or it was a mixed adventure, or it was an unhappy adventure. But I think, you should end up in this point in which you say, well, what a trip it was, man. And whether it was good or bad, it was how it was. And it has its own beauty, as you really know. So, all these things, God, the devil, what does it all mean? Life, what does it all mean? What's the purpose of life? And, that's very hard to say. You only can say that from a personal perspective. We project our purpose in life. Either be successful, or be loving, or be this, or be that. But if you just look at life around you, even the people around you, they got born, they raised kids, the kids got out of the house, they grew old, and, they made a business or had a job or whatever they did. And then you're gone. And here in the West, we all have this concept of, you got to learn something from that. But in that sense, what is there to learn? What is there to learn? I think in this Western concept, it's a completely wrong concept. There is nothing to learn on that level. Because you as a person will be gone when you die. That's dying. It's the end of the person. It's not the end of life or your essence of life. It's the end of the personal manifestation of life. So, you know, what you as a person will learn is only relevant within your lifespan, not beyond. It's just that you can deal much more with life, you know, as it presents itself to you during your life. That you get along better with your neighbors, that you know when you have to plant this or that, or how you should treat this or that. So it's very hard to say something about all these concepts. We have a lot of ideas about it. As I said, about God, the devil, life, life purpose. And as a matter of fact, we just don't know. We really don't know. I don't know either. You know, I'm talking on the radio, and the wise guy, nothing wise guy, I don't know either. Nobody knows. That's the whole thing. That's why you think people are so happy on Hitlers and Stalins and Bushes and the whole thing. Why do you think people want leaders? Because nobody knows how to live. Nobody knows what's the purpose. And we're all too keen to follow somebody who has a big mouth and says, this is it. This is the way. And if you present it in a logical way, yeah, and you make all these concepts sound like, okay, it makes sense, people follow you. And I can tell you from my own experience, I know what I talk about. Yeah, and that's the thing, with mind, you can justify anything. You can make everything sound real. You can make black go white and white go black with your mind. It's all within logic. So it's only true within logic. And I think why life is much wider than logic. So, in my view, the more you can let go of all these conceptual things in life, the more open life becomes. That's why we always stress, you know, just try to feel your feet. Don't try to think about it. Just try to be with yourself in peace. And you will see, and I tell you things from experience, that you will draw different circumstances. That you will react in a different way. That you will feel about it in a different way. That things will have a different meaning for you. Yeah. Only by getting not so entangled in, well, our inner involvement. I think this inner involvement, this mind-body thing, is the key to dealing with life. Because it translates what you observe in the world to you. It explains to you all the time, what is it for you? This is nice, this is ugly, this is beautiful, this is such, this is so. Yeah. So the only thing you might possibly change is your attitude towards mind and soul. Because what you hear in mind and soul is all pre-programmed by what you experienced before. If you've had in your youth, you might have bad experience with getting beaten up by your father or whatever. And that might set a thing that you don't trust men. It doesn't mean all men are untrustworthy. No, of course not. It just means you look through this certain way of looking at things. It's just like you put on special glasses. If you put on blue glasses, everything is blue. So I think that's the only thing you can slowly, and by trying to withdraw your attention from all the things that define your reality, and the more energy and the more attention you can withdraw from that and keep with yourself in a peaceful way, the less defined your reality will be. So the more possibilities, the more openness, the more joy. Because, you know, all these thoughts and feelings are, well, very often quite troublesome, aren't they? Worrying. Yeah. So I think the more you can, you know, leave these things, just let them be. You don't have to get involved with everything you observe. The more peaceful you will feel. And the more peaceful you will feel, the more open you will be. Because you're not so involved with yourself. You're just in this natural openness which you are right now. And when you're not involved within yourself, you're just in this natural openness, in which everything just is, as it is. And, well, I think it's extremely beautiful. But only if you don't look with preoccupied eyes. If you have the thought, and you look through the thought, you see an interpretation. And then you see your interpretation and not the reality. So all these things like God, I think, has a lot to do with letting go of your definitions. Because God is beyond all definition. Whatever the word God may mean, it just means unknown, I reckon. The unknown totality of life. Well, what can you say about that? Anything and everything you say about it is completely irrelevant. And in a way, it's funny if you think about things like God and the devil. What do we see as the devil? We see our bad attitudes, our bad manners, our bad behavior as the devil. Yeah, but it just depends on your way of looking. If you look in a moralistic way, yeah, that might be. I think if you look in a slightly different way, you can see everything that pulls you out of this inner peace, in a way, is a devil. First you are at peace and content. Something comes along, pulls you into their story. You become angry, in anxiety, feeling terrible, doing terrible things, only because you're involved into something on the inside. Just watch next time. You will see immediately what I mean. Yeah. So I think the best thing to do is not to think too much about these things. And just try to get yourself in a position that you are content. Just content. And you can be content with money and without money. And of course, you know, we think contentment has to do with our circumstances. This is not true. As I said, I traveled a lot in third world countries, and I've been pretty poor myself, by the way. I know happiness has nothing to do with wealth, with poverty. No. Of course, when you're, you know, very hungry all day long, that's not a happy state. But still, if I look in the third world, you know, I see people who are content. And not all of them, of course, but I see there more contentment or more acceptance in that it is as it is. And that doesn't have to be fatalistic. That, oh, I'm not going to change it, it will never change. No, that's not the point. The point is that you do not get involved into this inner discontentment. But on the outside, in daily life, in your daily world, of course you try to improve your life. Of course, when it's cold in your house, you will light the stove. You know, that's common sense, that is natural. It's a natural thing to take care of your own well-being. Yeah. So it's a very thin line between contentment and satisfying discontentment. That's a very thin line, but an essential line. Contentment is just being happy, and just being content with however it is. And satisfaction is what we, well, very much strive for. Just means compensation of discontentment. That doesn't mean contentment. It means compensation for discontentment. And you can see that clearly in the Western world. We have all these gadgets. We have all these electronic toys, we have all this fashion, we have all this porn, we have all this material wealth to fill up a hollow feeling. There's a hole somewhere. That's why we need all the shit. Huh? And the thing is, the things in itself are not bad. There's nothing wrong with an iPad or with whatever. But it's our attitude towards it which makes us the slave of it. Yeah. And this, in my opinion, this attitude gets very much steered or directed by discontentment. And then you can keep on running to fulfill your, to compensate your discontentment. Or you can try to let go of the things that make you discontent. And it's just a thought. It's just an impression on the inside in which you got involved that tells you you are unhappy. Just, for instance, just watch on the inside on this angry thought idea. You're just there. This idea or feeling comes up. If you would not get involved, this feeling would go away. You would have another feeling. You would get another thought about ice cream or potatoes or the car of the neighbor or whatever. Get into it, and the story of anger will unfold and create your reality. So I think the solution to many of these things is getting your attention out of your involvement, your inner involvement with everything. Try to do things practically on the outside. If you need money, try to look for a job. Don't make it a problem on the inside, because then you will get depressed. It's not helpful. It will eat all your energy. I think all these things are mainly about managing life force, attention. Managing your energy in such way that you create harmony within your life instead of havoc and unhappiness. And I think your attention is the key. It's my opinion and my experience. I only can tell you my experience. I cannot say what's the truth. I only can tell you, I can share with you what's my experience. And in my experience, I would say, if you get more hold on this attention of this mechanism of attention, the more harmonious you will feel. The less compensation you need. The less frustration you will play out. The less questions you have. The more answers you have. It's a simple thing. Just try to keep your attention, for instance, to your body. Your body just exists. And by shifting your attention away from all these hungry and unhappy thoughts, shift your attention away and just feel, for instance, your feet on the ground. And that will make you peaceful, because you will not get involved into this unhappy train of thoughts. And where everything you give attention and faults, give attention to this unhappy train, and you will have a very long unhappy train. Give attention to what is in peace, and you will be in peace. All right. Then I think it's about time that we shift to our ritual for this broadcast. Please lay down in a comfortable way, and I would advise you to put on headphones and close your eyes. Because if you're browsing meanwhile or reading a book or doing something else, I think you might miss the impact of the ritual. It's a pity. And as I said, this ritual will pull you very deep within yourself, within a very peaceful state, which is always there. Even when you're unhappy, it's there. Just let go of the unhappiness by shifting your attention away to something neutral. All right. Here comes the ritual. Thank you for your attention.
Please visit our website at shuemsoulexperience.com. Shuem, S-H-U-E-M. please visit our website at shuemsoulexperience.com. Shuem, S-H-U-E-M.